September 1st, 1899. The obedience continues. When the confessor came, he asked me if I had done the obedience. And after I told him how things had gone, he renewed the obedience, that I absolutely should not converse with Jesus, my sole and only comfort, and that I should drive him away if he came. So, having understood that what was given to me was true obedience, in my interior I said the Fiat voluntas tua, also in this. But, oh, how much it costs me, and what a cruel martyrdom. I feel like I have a nail stuck inside my heart, which pierces it through. And since the heart is used to asking and longing for Jesus continuously, and so much so, that just as the breathing and the heartbeat are continuous, so does it seem to me that my desiring and wanting my only good is continuous. And so, wanting to prevent this would be like wanting to prevent someone else from breathing, or his heart from palpitating. How could one live? Yet, one must let obedience prevail. Oh God, what pain, what atrocious torture. How to prevent the heart from asking for its very life? How to stop it? The will applied itself with all its strength in order to hold it back. But since great and continuous vigilance was needed, from time to time it would get tired and discouraged, and the heart would make its escape, asking for Jesus. In noticing this, the will would apply itself with greater strength in order to stop it, but no, it will lose very often. Therefore, it seemed to me that I was doing continuous acts of disobedience. Oh, what contrasts! What a bloody war! What mortal agonies my poor heart suffered! I found myself in such constraints and in such sufferings that I thought that my life was going away. Yet, had I been able to die, it would have been a comfort for me. But no, what's more, I felt pains of death without being able to die. So, after shedding most bitter tears for the whole day, at nighttime, as I found myself in my usual state, my always benign Jesus came. And I, forced by obedience, said to him, Lord, do not come, for obedience does not want it. And he, compassionating me, and wanting to strengthen me in the sufferings in which I found myself, with his creative hand marked my person with a large sign of the cross. And then he left me. But who can describe the purgatory I was in? And what's more, I was not allowed to fling myself toward my highest and only good. Ah, yes, I was forbidden to ask and long for Jesus. Ah, those blessed souls of purgatory are permitted to ask, to fling themselves, to pour themselves out toward the highest good. They are only prohibited from taking possession of him. But I, no, I was deprived also of this comfort. So, all night long, I did nothing but cry. When my weak nature could not take any more, lovable Jesus came back in act of wanting to speak with me. And I, remembering the obedience, which wants to reign over all, immediately said to him, "Dear life of mine, I cannot speak. Please do not come, for obedience does not want it. If you want to make your will understood, go to them." While I was saying this, I saw the confessor, and Jesus, drawing near him, said to him, "This is impossible for my souls. I keep them so immersed in me as to form one single substance, so much so that it is no longer possible to distinguish one from the other. And just as when two substances are mixed together, one is transfused into the other, and afterwards, if anyone wanted to separate them, it would be useless even just to think about it. In the same way, it is impossible for my souls to be separated from me." Having said this, he laughed, and I remained in my affliction, greater than before. My heart was beating so strongly that I felt my chest crack. After this, I cannot explain how, I found myself outside of myself, and forgetting, I don't know how, about the obedience received, I wandered throughout the vault of the heavens, crying, shouting, and searching for my sweet Jesus. All of a sudden, I saw him coming toward me, throwing himself into my arms, all burning and languishing. But soon I remembered the command received, and I said to him, "Lord, do not want to tempt me this morning. Don't you know that obedience does not want this?" And he, the confessor, sent me, and this is why I came. And I, "It is not true. Are you perhaps some demon that wants to deceive me and make me fail the obedience?" And Jesus, "I am not a demon." And I, "If you are not a demon, let us make the sign of the cross to each other." So we both signed each other with the cross. Then I continued saying to him, "If it is true that the confessor sent you, let us go to him, so that he himself may see whether you are Jesus Christ or a demon. Then will I be sure." So we went to the confessor. And since Jesus was a child, I placed him in his arms, telling him, "Father, look yourself. Is he my sweet Jesus or not?" Now, while blessed Jesus was with Father, I said to him, "If you really are Jesus, kiss the hand of the confessor." And in my mind I thought that if he was the Lord, he would accept the humiliation of kissing his hand, while if he was a demon, he wouldn't. And Jesus kissed it, though not to the man, but to the priestly authority. In this way he kissed it. After this, it seemed that the confessor was exorcising him to see whether he was a demon. And not finding him as such, he gave him back to me. But in spite of this, my poor heart was unable to enjoy the embraces of my beloved Jesus, because the obedience kept it as though bound, hampered. More so, since there was not yet a contrary order So it did not dare to pour itself out, not even to say a word of love. Oh, holy obedience, how strong and powerful you are. I see you before me in these days of martyrdom, like a most powerful warrior, armed from head to foot with swords, darts, and arrows, filled with all those instruments that are apt to wound. And when you see that my poor heart, tired and down, wants to be cheered, searching for its refreshment, its life, the center to which it feels drawn as by a magnet, looking at me with 1,000 eyes, you wound me from all sides with mortal wounds. Oh, please, have pity on me, and don't be so cruel with me. But as I'm saying this, the voice of my adorable Jesus is making itself heard to my ear, saying, obedience was everything for me, and I want obedience to be everything for you. Obedience made me be born. Obedience made me die. The wounds I have on my body are all wounds and marks that obedience did to me. With reason, you said that she is like a most powerful warrior, armed with all kinds of weapons apt to wound. In fact, in me, she left not even a drop of blood. She tore my flesh to pieces. She dislocated my bones. While my poor heart, exhausted and bleeding, kept looking for a relief from one who would have compassion for me. Acting with me as more than a cruel tyrant, only then was obedience content when she sacrificed me on the cross and saw me breathe my last as victim for love of her. And why this? Because the office of this most powerful warrior is to sacrifice souls. Therefore, she does nothing but wage a fierce war against those who do not sacrifice themselves completely for her. So, she does not care whether the soul suffers or enjoys, whether she lives or dies. Her eyes are intent on looking at whether she wins. For in the other things, she does not bother meddling. So, the name of this warrior is Victory, because she concedes all victories to the obedient soul. And when it seems that this soul dies, then does true life begin. What greater thing did obedience not concede to me? Through her, I conquered death. I defeated hell. I released man from his chains. I opened heaven. And like a victorious king, I took possession of my kingdom, not only for myself, but for all my children who would profit from my redemption. Ah, yes, it is true that she cost me my life. But the name Obedience resounds sweetly to my hearing. And this is why I have so much love for those souls who are obedient. I continue from where I left. After a little while, the confessor came. And when I told him what he said above, he renewed the obedience, that I should continue in the same way. And I said to him, Father, at least permit me to give my heart the freedom to ask for Jesus, for then, when he comes, the obedience to say, "Do not come, I cannot converse," I will do it. And he, "Do the best you can to stop him, and when you cannot, then give him freedom."